This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Foundations, a weekly program brought to you by the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Hello, I'm Esther Smith. Prayer is a common theme in the Bible, and yet many Christians find it difficult to pray. Last week we began considering Jesus' teaching on prayer, given during his Sermon on the Mount. We'll continue thinking about that this week, and here's Abel with more.
If we want to learn more about prayer, who better to teach us than the Lord Jesus himself? No one was closer to the Father than he was, and no one knew more about prayer than he did. Last week, we began considering Jesus' words on prayer recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. I'll read them again. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So far, the reading from Matthew chapter 6. As Jesus looked at the prayers of the Jews and the Gentiles, he warned his disciples of two dangers. Firstly, the danger of hypocrisy, which we covered last week, and secondly, the danger of empty words. So let's consider now what Jesus says about the danger of empty words. The first example, the danger of hypocrisy, was taken from the Jews. The second one is taken from the Gentiles. The first example dealt with a misuse of the purpose of prayer, directing prayer to the glory of self rather than the glory of God. This example deals with the nature of prayer. Prayer is not just a recitation of words and phrases, but is a genuine approach to God. The pagan Gentiles had a superstitious view of prayer. They thought they could convince the gods to do what they wanted by their flow of words. The word Jesus uses, betalogio, appears only here in the Bible and in ancient literature. Wycliffe translated it as babbling, and various translations of the Bible use this word. These pagans thought that the more they said, the more likely they were to be heard. They thought they could manipulate the gods by their prayers. So Jesus is talking about their meaningless repetition, their heaping up of empty phrases, their magic formulas. Jesus is not against length in prayers. The gospel writers tell us that on some occasions, Jesus prayed all night. There are also many examples of long prayers in the Bible, like Psalm 119 and Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple and Daniel's prayer. Nor is Jesus condemning repetition. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times that God might let the cup pass from him. The Apostle Paul prayed three times that God would remove the thorn in his flesh. And the parable of the persistent widow teaches us that we ought to always pray and not give up. So Jesus is not against length or repetition. What he condemns is pointless repetition empty phrases, words without meaning, length for its own sake. We can often be inclined to slip into clichés or formal phrases, to say the same words over and over. These words of Jesus encourage you to think about what you're praying. It's not the quantity of our words that is important, but it's the quality. God is not impressed by the number of words or their volume. What counts is that our prayers are sincere and earnest. Let's now look at a few applications that we should take note out of this. How should we pray? What should mark our prayers? First application to note is that our prayers should be fervent. That is, they should be sincere, genuine, and thoughtful. Remember that you are in a conversation with God. What counts is the attitude of your heart. Your prayers need to be straightforward, earnest, authentic, and personal. This is much more important than having a special structure or form to our prayers. It is better to speak from the heart and be all over the place than we have a beautifully structured prayer that is cold and formal. Having said that, there is some value in form. This is a second application. Jesus gave his disciples this example of prayer, usually known as the Lord's Prayer. It is an example of how the content of our prayers, that is, what you should pray, but it is also a model for prayer, that is, how you should pray. Let's notice its structure. It begins with a recognition of who God is and of His majesty, our Father in heaven. That is followed by three petitions or requests that have to do with God, His name, His kingdom, and His will. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Then follow three petitions that relate to us. We pray for our daily needs, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for protection against sin and the enemy. The general structure of the Lord's Prayer gives us a good pattern to follow. Praise for God, followed by petitions relating to God, and then for ourselves. Another way to pray is to use the prayers of the Bible, especially the Psalms. They have been a prayer book and song book of the church for 3,000 years. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they too can be a great aid in prayer. Take a psalm, read it, meditate on it, and then use it as your prayer to God. But you can do this with many passages of Scripture. One of the best prompts for prayer is to read a passage and then pray about it. If it talks about trust, pray for trust. If it gives an example of how someone fell into sin, pray to be kept from that temptation. If it expresses a praise and adoration of God, use that as a basis for your prayer. Remember that in all this, we are praying to our Father in heaven. Here too is an application for us in our prayers. How you pray is directed by your view of God. How you pray is shaped by your understanding of God. Your prayer life as a Christian is determined by your knowledge of God. God is our Father, who loved us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to Him as a son and daughter of your Father in heaven. If you have the right view of God, then your prayers will be sincere, not hypocritical. They'll be thoughtful, not mechanical. They'll express a true communion with your Heavenly Father, rather than being meaningless repetitions of the same phrases. As we seek to pray more fervently to our Heavenly Father, we need to continue to look to the Lord Jesus Himself, the way, the truth, and the life, through whom we can come to God.
You're listening to Foundations on Plains FM 96.9. Today you've heard Abel Landers reading edited material written by Reverend John Haviland. We are faced with choices every day, and many things compete for our time and energy. What did Jesus have to say about priorities? Please join us when we think about this next Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. For now though, goodbye from the Foundations team.
can contact the Foundations team by sending an email to foundationsonplains@gmail.com. Join us for worship on Sunday at the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 63 Cornwall Street.